ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरियाभ्यात् हरिख्याभ्यार्च्य जिष्ण्याग्र्यम् हर्षदा अभिवन्द्य च येषा अधिष्ठातुम् बिभ्राद् रूपम् हिरण्मयम् परीत्याभ्यार्च्य जिष्ण्याग्र्यम् हर्षदाभिवन्द्य च येष तदधिष्ठातुम् बिभ्राद् रूपम् हिरण्मयम् हरियाभ्यार्च्य जिष्ण्याघ्रम् हर्षदाभिवन्द्य च येष तदधिष्ठातुम् बिभ्राद्रूपम् हिरण्मयम् Paritya, having circumambulated, Apyarchya, having worshipped, Dishnya Agriam, the transcendental airplane, Arishadaro, unto the two associates, Abhivandya, having offered obeisance. Also, Yesha, he attempted Tat, that plane, Adishtatum, to board, Bibrat, illuminating, Rupam, his form, Hiranmayam, golden. Purport. No, excuse me, translation. Before getting aboard, Dhruva Maharaj worshipped the airplane, circumambulating it, and also offered obeisances to the associates of Vishnu. In the meantime, he became as brilliant and illuminating as molten gold. He was thus completely prepared to board the transcendental plane. Purport. In the absolute world, the plane, the associates of Lord Vishnu and Lord Vishnu himself are all spiritual. There is no material contamination. In quality, everything there is one. As Lord Vishnu is worshipable, so also are his associates, his paraphernalia, his airplane, and his abode. For everything of Vishnu's is as good as Lord Vishnu. Dhruva Maharaj knew all this very well, as a pure Vaishnava, and he offered his respects to the associates and to the plane before riding in it. But in the meantime, his body changed into spiritual existence, and therefore it was illuminating like molten gold. In this way, he became one with the other paraphernalia of Vishnu Loka. Mayavadi philosophers cannot imagine how this oneness can be achieved even in different varieties. Their idea of oneness is that there is no variety, therefore they have become impersonalists. As Shishumara, Vishnu Loka, or Dhruva Loka are completely different from this material world, so Vishnu Tepa within this world is also completely different from this material world. As soon as we are in a temple, we should know very well that we are situated differently from the material world. In the temple, Lord Vishnu, his throne, his room, and all other things associated with the temple are transcendental. The three modes, Sattva-guna, Rajaguna, and Tamaguna, have no entrance into the temple. It is said, therefore, to live in the forest is in the mode of goodness, to live in the city is in the mode of passion, and to live in a brothel, liquor shop, or slaughterhouse is in the mode of ignorance. But to live in the temple means to live in Vaikuntha. Everything in the temple is as worshipable as Lord Vishnu or Krishna. We see this important, this culture, this the philosophy being connected together with the culture, very important. Unfortunately, much of the time we don't see the two are connected. We think that the philosophy is one thing, and it's theoretical, of course. And then the culture itself is something archaic, and it doesn't apply to the modern situation. In this way, then, fine points of the philosophy, the culture, and definitely their connection will elude us. Is anything we don't have faith in, we will not gain. The Lord cannot be understood by mundane intelligence, no matter how intelligent we are. Lord Brahma, the most intelligent, was unable to understand Krishna until Krishna revealed himself. So, the point being is that everything being Krishna, there is no separate existence. There's only an illusion that that existence, separate existence, exists. Actually, it doesn't. The soul is perfect. It's always perfect, always has been, always will be. But the soul, being a person, has the choice to act within that perfect platform or not. So acting in that, then we'll call this the perfected souls. And if not, we will call them the souls where their perfection is covered by illusion. But the soul is never other than perfect. So that means everything is perfect. The lack of being able to see its connection with the Lord, that's where the imperfection comes in. So, Dhruva Maharaj is not influenced by this modern way of thinking that philosophy and the social culture at large is separate. The concept of secular doesn't actually exist because God's laws still apply. God still is in control. Things still work the way God says they will. So the concept of secular is not actually obtainable. Secular means that we see it from the universal platform. the platform of Vedanta, that the philosophy itself is actually giving the real truth. Our conditioning, that's what we can consider elements of that change according to the time, place, and circumstance. Because our conditioning is under the modes, and modes are changing. So yes, that aspect is there. But the philosophy, the culture never changes. So Dhruva Maharaj, being such a person who understands this and is therefore qualified, then he does not see a difference between the Lord, the Lord's associates, and the chariot that's been sent to take him to Vaikuntha. So he's respecting the associates, he's respecting the chariot, and because of this, he's situated transcendentally. If one sees that everything is connected to the Lord, one is not within the material world. This material world is actually an illusion. There is inferior energy. There's the material manifestation. But its action depends upon how we view it. We view it as the Lord's creation. It acts upon us and it reciprocates with us spiritually. We see it materially or separate from the Lord, then it acts upon us materially. So this fine point, one appreciates this and one is able to act upon this platform, then one is situated in the spiritual world. And like Dhruva Maharaj, then the body will function in a spiritual way. And here, then it takes on these spiritual qualities. He comes to the transcendental platform. So this element is very important, because if we're saying this is a spiritual movement and people within it are therefore being devotees, are spiritual, then we have to perceive them in that way also. So what's at work if we see something that's not what we call ideal? It's simply the modes of nature. The modes of nature do what they will do. The soul's not actually involved. So the consideration in dealings is one based on between devotees who are servants of the Lord, and what is the best situation in which a particular living entity, conditioned in a particular way, will be engaged in the best way in Krishna's service. Other things don't actually have any meaning. We're so used to giving them meaning. The illusion has been so meaningful to us for so long that we by habit, forget that it doesn't actually have any meaning. A dream does not have any meaning. It doesn't have any value. So many dreams are there. There's a dream about Krishna, about the spiritual master. We'll consider, yes, that dream had some value. Why? Because it's connected to the Lord. Other dreams, not so important. You know, being chased around the block, flying in the air, all these, and they're not very important. But people feel they're very important. So the considerations will be other than its connection to the Lord. But that will be a mistake, because then we are missing out on actually being situated in Krishna consciousness, actually being associating with the Lord, associating with the devotees on the transcendental platform. We see the modes and we act on the modes. We're associating with the modes. Very simple. But if we are seeing with spiritual vision, then we're unaffected by these modes. Then we can go beyond these modes. And so it's very open, very accessible. And this is not high philosophy. This is Bhagavad Gita. This is what Krishna is recommending, that we act beyond the modes by always seeing the soul, the super soul, and the material energy. We see these three, then we will not be affected by the modes. And if we're not affected by the modes, we will not be involved in the material entanglement. Because material life, the banyan tree of material existence, is nourished by the modes of nature. So it's a very simple thing here. So situating oneself in the temple means, ideally, of course, physically, to situate yourself in the temple, situate yourself in the Dham, that's always ideal, because then whether we're God conscious or not, we're situated properly. But if one's consciousness, one situates oneself in Krishna, then wherever you are, then that is a temple. Right? Wherever Lord Chaitanya went, that was Vrindavan. Why? Because he's always absorbed in seeing Krishna, seeing everything in relationship to Krishna. So it's something very practical and very straightforward. Of course, the only obstacle is our lack of practice. Right? Since time immemorial, we've practiced that the illusion is important. So now we're in the soul and super soul, that's not actually the important element. Now we're learning to that the soul, super soul is important. Material world is as important as its ability to be engaged in the Lord's service. So it's just practice. So if we have that faith and we take it up, then we can get something done. But if the faith is not there, we will not accomplish anything. One can only accomplish something and be successful where one has faith. It's very simple. Right? The materialists know this also. You have faith, you're successful. You don't, you'll never be successful. So if we have faith in these words given by Srila Prabhupada, given by Sukadeva Goswami, then we will be able to apply this. Then we can make that endeavor. And if we make the endeavor, Krishna will reciprocate. We don't have the faith, we don't make the endeavor, it won't happen. And the faith also Krishna gives. So we desire that faith, Krishna will give it. He's giving everyone else their faith, their material faith. Why won't he give spiritual faith? So this element is very fine, because the element of transcendence, means of not being in the material sphere, appears very similar to what the impersonalists discuss. But the difference is the personal aspect. The Mayavadis, they can't believe there's variety in transcendence. That's where their faith falls short. They can't understand this, because to them, all variety has been a problem. One has tried to enjoy, one's tried to be happy, and it hasn't worked. So the idea that variety could give happiness and there can be transcendental variety, it just doesn't come into their perspective. Getting out of the material world, following proper performance of duties, performed without attachment, this is the common ground. Because devotional service is performed beyond the material conditioning. Beyond the material conditioning, one is liberated from that conditioning. So that point is common. So we have to be very careful that these fine points aren't rejected by ourselves in thinking that, oh, this is impersonal. It's not impersonal. What's impersonal is thinking that transcendence doesn't have variety. And that transcendence, there's ever a situation where it doesn't exist. Because even the material energy is Brahman. It's inferior Brahman. Right? Unconscious Brahman. But Brahman nonetheless. So material means our illusion that something is not connected to the Lord. That's the actual definition. So actually the soul is always transcendental. But due to his consciousness, he involves himself in the material sphere. So if we can appreciate the greatness of the Lord, the specialness of the Lord, and that means the specialness of everyone connected, because if he is everything, that means everything He is within the Lord. That means all living entities and all manifestations are connected to the Lord, so everything is special. We see that connection to the Lord, we're able to deal nicely. There's no question of improper dealings. We don't see the connection to the Lord, then we're up to our own material qualifications of the modes of nature. There's more goodness, we'll behave better. There's not so much goodness, we'll behave not so nice. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you're saying that we should meditate on the soul, the super soul, and the material energy to always be free from this. So it seems to be fairly easy to meditate on the soul if we're out in the world going doing some business or something. How to meditate on the super soul?
The platform of the soul means the transcendental situation. Means the soul is transcendental to the body. But the workings of the material world is functioning by the modes. That's how it works. But it's a reflection of the spiritual energy. The spiritual energy then is comprised mechanically of samvit, sandini, hladini. Those reflect into the material world, that's your goodness, passion, and ignorance. So the point is you see the connection with the Lord, then you're working based on sandini, samvit, hladini. You don't see the connection, you're based on goodness, passion, and ignorance. Right? So that's the importance of seeing the difference. Now, being a reflection, as far as form goes and obtainment of results, the material energy, the external energy will do that through the modes of nature. The internal potency will do that through samvit, sandini, hladini. Right? So, but as a reflection, it works the same way. It's the same function. So what's important is our not seeing ourselves as connected with the modes. It's not that the modes themselves are inherently bad. No, the modes are just how the material world works. Our being under the influence of the modes, that's the problem. But the things are going to function by the modes of nature. Something's being created because of the mode of passion. Something's being destroyed because of the mode of ignorance. Something's being maintained by the mode of goodness. So you want to create a new project, build a Rothcart. The modes of nature, means material energy, uses the mode of passion to create it. If we think I'm the doer, we're under that mode. If we think I'm the servant, then we're not under that mode. So we're working under the samdit potency. Understand? Because it's reflection. You know, do you think you're the face in the mirror, or you know you're the face and that's a reflection? This is what we're being asked to do. Right? When you look in the mirror, you'll say, oh, that's me. No, you look in the mirror, you'll say, that's my reflection. Me is on this side. You understand? So being able to see that then means you can situate yourself and understand how things work. Right? So that, does that make sense? So now, then what's happening in there is that the Lord and His qualities, or if we back up a moment, then the Lord's good qualities are the Brahman. The Brahman is the effulgence of Krishna's qualities. So that means, Brahman means the Lord's qualities. So then the difficulty comes that the quality is generic. Right? Connected with the person, we see the meaning. It has some value in the relationship with the Lord. But it's a generic, powerful. It's a generic quality. Right? But Krishna being everything, that's not a problem. So if we see something connected to the Lord, then we're seeing Krishna's power. We don't see it in connection to the Lord. We're not seeing the power coming from Krishna. We see the power on its own and give it its own value. This is the illusion, right? So the Brahman platform means you understand as Krishna's quality and the material energy, the spiritual energy that is taking the forms and the activities in which that equality can be appreciated. Right? So Krishna's great. So therefore, there's the manifestation or his opulence or some variety of way that we would appreciate God's great. You understand? So that manifestation, that's the internal potency. Right? Now, that reflects into the material world. So then, instead of the forms and the activities being governed by the internal potency, it's being managed by the external potency. And if you see yourself as a servant, right, on the spiritual platform you see God is there, the internal potency is serving God, we assist the internal potency, right? Then it's in its natural state. If you see the material energy as a reflection, as Krishna's potency that is serving Krishna, then we become servant in the same process. So then that external potency will act as internal. But if we think we're the Lord, then we're working under the modes. You understand? So that's the Brahman understanding. In that way, no matter where one is situated, no matter whatever one's doing, one can be transcendentally situated. Right? Does that make sense? That's why it's a mistake. Means when devotees will say, well, the form's not important, but if they throw out the form, that's actually Mayavad philosophy. So when devotees say, oh, all this doesn't matter, we just do whatever we want, that's actually the mode of ignorance. Krishna says doing an activity whimsically is the mode of ignorance, if it's not based on Shastra. And thinking that, well, it doesn't have a spiritual content, therefore it's not necessary, that means that's also ignorance. But that's the ignorance of the Mayavadis. One is the ignorance of the karmi, one is the ignorance of the impersonalist, the jnani. So they're both mundane. Spiritual means is that it's connected to the Lord. So the activity, the actual, why I'm doing the activity is because I'm looking for that quality of the Lord. If I'm in knowledge, I'm looking for the quality and connection to the Lord. If I'm in illusion, I look for that quality separate from the Lord. Right? So someone's looking for power. Power then has its manifestations, right? You have to have proper administration or proper management. You have to have, you know, opulence in which you can therefore manipulate to get your work done, right? So you see that this is all Krishna's power. And therefore then, what would the internal potency do with that particular power that you have? And how that would be used in the Lord's service? If you assist that, you're doing devotional service. But if you don't do that, you think, I'm powerful, and by my manipulation of the material energy, I am therefore manifesting the power. It's me manifesting the power. That means then you think you're the Lord, so you're under the modes. You understand? So that means it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you understand this function, you're not affected by the modes. But it's, as we said, the Brahman platform. But the devotee knows the quality has come from Krishna. And that is being, manipulated or engaged by the Lord's energy. So there's no impersonal element because there's variety. Impersonal means when there's no variety. So though it's the Brahman platform, it's not impersonal. Therefore we call it Parabrahman or the Brahma-Bhuta platform. Now, the Paramatma element means you're seeing that, and you're seeing that workings. That's the Brahman platform. But your involvement in it, and actually being involved in the activity, that's where Paramatma comes in, because he sanctions or not the activity. So you understand that he's in control of it. You are qualified, you perform the activity in the proper way, in other words, the activity as it's been given by Lakshmi, then it works nicely. You want to do it in your own way, it won't work so nicely. So you do it according to the original aspect of the reflection, it's called pious. You pervert that, it's called impious. You understand? But now, Krishna being everything has entered everything, is in control of everything, that's the Brahman and Paramatma levels. Right? Bhagavan means what's beyond that. He as a person. Right? So in other words, Brahman is the supreme, omnipotent, omniscient. This kind of quality, that's the Brahman platform. The supreme controller, that is the Paramatma platform. The supreme personality, or the supreme enjoyer, that's the Bhagavan platform. You understand? So all these will function at the same time. But for Krishna, the only thing that's really important is the interaction with the devotees. The other elements aren't really, you know, that's easy. He's God, you know, he just thinks it happens. So it's not something special, but the interaction with the devotees, that's what's special. So we see here Dhruva Maharaj appreciating that, therefore is even respecting the plane that, and the devotees that are coming for that particular activity. So if one respects all this, one can get somewhere. One doesn't respect, one won't get anywhere. So the more one can respect, at least minimum, the devotees, and then ideally then even all living entities, then one will be able to appreciate God consciousness everywhere. Does that make sense? So one should be able to make this distinction between Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Bhagavan's what we're trying to get to, because that's actually the place where Krishna, that gives him the most pleasure. But if one is making that endeavor and separating oneself from the material energy, understanding that one's not the body, one's Brahman, but you're doing that to please Krishna, then it's part of the devotional process. If you're simply doing it because the material world is, you know, not very nice, you want to get out of it, but you're not really worried if you get out in connection with Krishna or not, then that's not very impressive to Krishna. Then you're on your own. You have the qualification, then you'll make some advancement. You don't have the qualification, you won't get anywhere. Does that make sense? Yes. Yes. The mic? Where is the mic? Mic. There's that little switch at the bottom, very bottom.
Thank you very much again, Maharaj. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentioned how Dhruva Maharaj entering the spiritual world, he was seen actually entering into oneness, and he advised how this oneness is different from the oneness seen by the Mayavadi. And in your explanation also you explain how this material world is illusion. And furthermore, you elaborated how this dream, the dreaming experience, is sort of negative. So, in the conception of the Mayavadi, or for the purpose of the Mayavadi saying oneness is denying this material world as a real also. So, sometimes this is a finer point. I beg you to elaborate on this principle of which is a dream, eventually could become a dream within a dream, an almost infinite dream, because in this material world, Srila Prabhupada explains in one purport of conversation that the dreams of this material world are a combination of the imaginary things that the mind collects during the day, and they may not be exactly logical, let's say, but it's a byproduct of a reality. And the philosophy of Vaishnavism established that the material world is real. So could you please elaborate in between this principle of how to see this dream experience?
Okay. So how to define the difference between when we say the material world is unreal and the Mayavadi say the material world is unreal? The difference is we will say that the manifestation exists, but seeing it not connected to the Lord, that's what's not real. That's the illusion. The Mayavadis would just say it's not there. It's our imagination that it's there. So they will say that the matter that we're able to perceive with the senses actually isn't there. That's a dream. we'll say, no, that's real. The dream is that what you think about that, how you perceive that. Right? So this microphone exists. It's just how you perceive it. You see it in connection with the Lord, then it deals on the transcendental platform. So then in that way, it's real. But if you don't see it in the connection with the Lord, though the microphone itself is real, your use of it is unreal. Because it's a dream. Because something not being connected to the Lord is an illusion. There's no such thing. It's only our perception that we will think something is connected or not.
So this is perhaps when Srila Prabhupada establishes also that, or states actually, that a dream in a spiritual relationship is spiritual.
A spiritual relationship is spiritual.
If somebody dreams with a spiritual master, the deity, or the
The relationship with the devotees, with the Lord, means any paraphernalia connected with the Lord is real. Now, if it is made from the spiritual, the transcendental element of that will remain. What may be caused by the material manifestation, that may change. Right? Means, in other words, the situation will change, but those concepts don't change because they're a reflection of the original. Right? In the mirror, you have a nose. That's because there's a real nose. So the idea that there's families and children and villages and houses and land and cows and money and eating lunch and throwing out the garbage, all that remains because it's there from the spiritual platform. What changes is our situation in it. It means here we're situated, in the spiritual world one is situated because of one's particular attachment to Krishna. Right? Then you have a particular rasa. In the material world, we're situated due to our attachment to the material manifestation. And so that situation may change.
What will be the state, though we are being given so many references regarding the state of consciousness in the spiritual world, what would we consider a dream in the spiritual world?
What's a dream in the spiritual world? Dreaming about Krishna, what you've done with him, what you will do.
So that's the difference with the dreams in the material world.
Yeah, it means in other words, the concept of dream is real. The problem is dreams here aren't made of anything of substance. So therefore, dream here means it's unreal. But if it's about Krishna, then it's real. Right? So then it's just a particular state of existence. One's in a dreaming state. You know? Does that make sense? So it'll be mentally transitive, but physically intransitive. Does that make sense? Like that. So that's what makes the difference. While the activity, then when they wake up, then they're both physically and intellectually, mentally engaged in activity.
So it means that having a spiritual body, only I can dream of spiritual things?
In the spiritual world, yes, you only dream of spiritual things because that's all you see. It means that's all that's there and that's all you're interested in. So anything that's not, you're not interested in. So in Goloka, there's no problem with that because all that's there is completely transcendental. But in Gokula, all that's there is spiritual, but at the same time, there is the material manifestation running parallel. So you can see either one, whichever one you want. You can see the real and you can see the reflected. So you're interested in the real, you stay there. You're interested in the reflection, you come here. Does that make sense? So both look the same.
So although the same sustas, Gokula and Goloka.
Did you just trick me? You got me on this topic.
It's the subject of the book, I guess. We are talking about impersonalism, Brahman. I mean, I guess that we are in track, right?
No, it connects. It's okay. Just a matter of, this has to be specific. That's all. Yes.
Yeah, thank you, Maharaj, for such a nice class. the basic thesis that you so nicely took from the text in purport is the oneness, the Vaishnav oneness experienced by Dhruva Maharaj is another confirmation that culture and philosophy shouldn't be seen as two distinct things. And you mentioned the problem if we do fail to see the Vaishnav oneness between the philosophy and the culture, between science and religion, however you want to express it. But someone could say that in our ISKCON society we have that base covered almost automatically due to the practice of Yukta Vairagya, just using everything in Krishna's service. So how would you respond?
Respond as means the natural response to be, how do they define Yukta and how do they define Vairagya? Because otherwise lip service is really cheap, right? You know? It's one of the cheapest things, you know. We chant Hare Krishna, we don't care, and Yukta Vairagya. These are probably two of the cheapest statements the devotees use. Because if you ask them to define it, you won't get a scientific answer, you'll get an emotional explosion. Like that. Especially the longer they've been using it, the more explosive is the response. Like that. So the point is, yes, it's true, but the point is, as we were saying, there's mechanics that's there. If it's a science, that means there's mechanics. So yukta means it is connected to the Lord. You see its connection to the Lord. You see it, it exists. You don't see it, it's not working. You know what I'm saying? Especially in the Brahman platform, Krishna manifests there when you see him there. If not, it's just his energies are taking care. It means Prahlad Maharaj sees Nrisingadeva in the pillar, therefore he's there. Someone doesn't see Nrisingadeva in the pillar, just his energies hold the pillar, hold the roof up. But it's actually Krishna in the form of strength that holds up the roof. So that quality comes from the person. So you can just see only one level, you can see it all the way back to the person. So, you know, the basic transcendental is at least seeing the dip back to the quality. So if that's there, then that's yukta, then that's connected. Vairagya means you're not attached to the results. You don't think you're the doer. That part generally is left out. You know, because why that particular yukta vairagya? Generally, if you study, it will be because that's according to the conditioned nature of the individual who is engaging it. That's basically what's happening, which is not a problem if it's yukta, right? And the one's not attached to the results. So that one is attached to the results, so then it's sakam karma yoga. If one's not attached to the result, then it becomes nishkam. So that becomes quite beneficial. But still, pure devotional service means you're starting with Krishna and then engaging your nature, rather than starting with your nature and then connecting it to Krishna. So most of the time when devotees say yukta vairagya, they mean what I want to do, I connect that to Krishna, which is perfectly bona fide. But they'll say it as if it's synonymous with pure devotional service. Pure devotional service means you start with Krishna and then you engage your nature. There's a difference. You know, if I serve you food first, then I eat, or I serve my food, self food first, and then you eat, there is a difference in culture. I serve you first, I'll be called a good host. I serve myself first, then they'll say, what's with this guy? You know? So, because for Krishna, if anything that we connect to him, then he considers that wonderful. So, he overlooks the lower element. But, pure unalloyed devotional service has a definition that it doesn't have any of these other elements mixed with it. So we have to be very careful that yukta vairagya, yes, means we connect. The other thing is that in yukta vairagya, we're saying we don't care for the external, and what are we doing? An external. So we're very dismissive of one external, and very, strong on the point that this external is okay to use. So in any case, the view is still a very external. The actual point of yukta vairagya means you see what's the principle at work. Because any activity, any form, there's a principle behind it. As we said, Krishna's quality is the first point. Then Lakshmi manifests forms and activities that serve that quality. So that means form follows the quality. So that means if you understand the principle, the quality that that particular, Shastric form is using, then if that form doesn't apply in that particular situation, then you're able to use the principle that's there to apply it in some other form that we might consider more modern. Because all the forms are simply reflections of the spiritual. But if we can't see the principle on which we're trying to apply this, there's every chance we actually are not engaged in Yukta Vairagya. Right? Unless it's some authorities told us to do it, then there's a good chance. But if we're on our own, we're just making it up, there's a good chance we haven't, because then we're saying one form won't work, but one form will. But the point is forms only work if they're based on the principle. We don't see the principle, it still doesn't work. Does that make some sense? The very last sentence means all forms, whether it's the original or the reflection, are working on the same quality. You know what I'm saying? The formal cause of the spiritual energy in serving Krishna's quality. And the material energy, which is the reflection of that, in serving that same quality. They're doing the same thing. It's a matter of which one we want to work under. We identify with the material energy, we work under her, we're an illusion. I don't identify with material energy, we identify with the soul, serving of Krishna, then we serve the internal potency. So that means you have to see the quality that's being used. Right? Just like example, okay, we say a certain kind of, the traditional clothes won't work in a particular situation. Okay, fine. But that's still a form. What's the reason it won't work? What's the reason we say the modern will? You know, unless we get, it basically will come down to I'm uncomfortable in this, or others will be uncomfortable, and I'll be uncomfortable with their uncomfortableness. Rather than what's the particular element that you're, what is the quality that you're actually trying to deal with? Right? So the point is the Vedic dresses there, is this is how a gentleman dresses. So if you understand that principle, then if you can't use a traditional dress, you can use a modern dress that obtains the quality of culture, of gentlemanness. You understand? Then that's yukta. And then why would you do that? You dress like a gentleman because that pleases Krishna, so then it's yukta vairagya. But if that mechanics is not there, then there's every chance that you're dressing it in modern clothes because you're more comfortable that way, and actually you would dress that way whether it had anything to do with Krishna consciousness or not. So it becomes very, very loosely connected as Yukta Vairagya. It's not a powerful position. So the devotees have the knowledge by which they could make it very powerful. So that's what we're discussing, is that how to actually make any situation connected. Right? But that's the lower levels of Brahman and Paramatma. Then there's connecting it to Krishna as a person, so actually would he be pleased with this particular way of connecting it? So there's variety within Brahman. Right? So I can have, some kind of crazy street dress or something more, what one would generally be seen as more gentlemanly. So you could see the connection with either of them, but there's going to be a difference in the quality that it manifests. And so there is still variety within Brahman. So if we can see that, then we're actually seeing with the spiritual content. If not, then we tend to work with the same as the Mayavadis do. So we can't see the variety. Because one of the first symptoms is that the spiritual won't work, the traditional won't work, only the modern will work, because then we're only seeing form. So we're not seeing, and so we're not actually seeing spiritual variety. We're not seeing why anything works. We're just seeing, oh, people won't like it. Why do people like and not like? Who's given that concept that people like and not like? Every culture of the world, there's an acceptable dress. even the aboriginal, right? You know, there's an acceptable dress and there's not. Where did that come from? It came from God. It didn't come from modern man. Right? The proper way to interact. But etiquette came from God, not from modern man. Does this make sense?
So you seem to be saying that 246 in Bhagavad Gita, that one who knows the purpose of it, one who knows the purpose behind the Vedas, all the purposes of the Vedas are fulfilled,
yes.
You seem to be implying that although there is an ultimate goal, but that word purpose can also be purposes, like you mentioned dress in terms of gentleman.
That's application. Means the point is what's the situation. Means you're dressed this way or that way, that's the situation. Situation is not where you define something as good or bad. It's what you do with the situation. I have a fabulous kitchen, you know, 5-star kitchen, okay? Now, one would say, this is great, but it's only great if you're going to cook. What happens if the kids come in there, bring their cricket bat and ball, and, you know, start a game? Is that good? No. So situation doesn't define good or bad. It's what you do with the situation that defines. So that you're wearing devotional clothes or karmic clothes, that's not the problem. It's what is the mentality behind it. That's what defines it. Devotees look at situations. Why do they do that? They're conditioned to that. Why? Because that's the material consciousness. If I have this situation, I have my opportunities for sense gratification. Right? And in the consumerist society, the whole focus is exclusively on situation. They don't tell you what to do with it. They just say, if you have this car, you have this phone, you have this watch, then you're going to be great. No, it's what you do with them that makes you great. You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem, is we become conditioned. And due to our conditioning, we make this same mistake. So it's what you do. To do something, you have to know what the goal is. To know the goal, you have to know what's the actual quality of Krishna you're trying to obtain. And what aspect of Krishna are you actually serving? So the devotees say, oh, we don't follow the rule. I mean, how do you not follow the rules? Not following the rule is a rule. Oh, we don't follow the rules. That's their rule. You know what I'm saying? So you're not going to get away from rules. You're not going to get away from the inherent nature of something. It's not possible. To think you can, that's illusion. But the point is to have the intelligence to be able to see the difference that the mind bodies can't see. Right? Remember in the verse, it's nirvisheshrunyavadi paschaptivesh. It doesn't say, you know, all the gross, disgusting sense gratification that the Westerners are into. That's not the actual problem. The problem is the hardcore impersonalism and voidism. That's the problem, because they can't see variety in spiritual, only in material. So as soon as it becomes spiritual, the variety is gone. So if you want to be practical, you have to work within variety, therefore there's no spiritual. Very dangerous. It's 9 o'clock, we should end. So. Sorry. Can you probably call it a peek?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.